Let's take the word of God, and if you turn with me to the book of Proverbs, and we'll be in chapter 12. Proverbs and chapter 12. We're going to look at a quite large section in this chapter, and we're going to see here that there is a theme running from verse 13 down to verse 23. And I think it's going to be pretty evident as we begin reading those verses. There is an emphasis on a specific subject matter. We're going to find, and I'll just mention it so that we can see it maybe when we read it. He is going to talk about the lips, the mouth, the counsel, speaking, false witness, the tongue, the lips of truth, the lying tongue, counselors, lying lips, and proclaiming things. And so there's going to be a strong emphasis on words that come from our mouth. And we're going to find that. And so what I'm going to do is a little different tonight. Sometimes I've taken just one proverb, and we've just explained in depth that one proverb. But with that theme, what I want to do is read through that and find an account in the Bible that can illustrate pretty much all of those proverbs at once. And hopefully it'll go well. We'll find out. All right, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word, Proverbs 13. And we're going to begin, or 12, excuse me, chapter 12. We're going to read 11 verses, verse 13 through 23. All right, let's begin reading. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. I would like to bring your attention back to verse 13. He mentions here the transgression of his lips. The word transgression means someone who is in revolt, in rebellion, someone who is in sin. We talked about recently in Sunday school, sin means to miss the mark. Iniquity means to deviate from the path of righteousness, and transgression means to cross the line. And so to rebel against God is a good way. God has drawn a line, and man transgresses that line. He goes beyond, he crosses the line. And so I want to preach this evening on the transgression of the lips, the transgression, crossing the line with our lips. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening for your word. Help us to have the wisdom to apply it to our lives. Help us to understand the importance of words and the great consequences of our words, whether it is the consequence for good or the consequence for evil. Help us to understand its impact, but also help us to understand what it reveals about us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, the subject matter here, very clearly, it comes out in those 11 verses, is the tongues, the words that proceed from our mouth. Now, if we are going to deal with the mouth, we have to go deeper than the words that just proceed from our mouth. Now, in verse 20, he says something important. In verse 20, he says, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselor of peace is joy. And so what he brings out here in the midst of all of those verses on the tongue is the heart. Now, when Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, he addressed also the matter of the tongue. I would refer to the Sermon on the Mount as basically some foundational truths for the disciple of Christ. Now, you could read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and 7, or even in Luke chapter 6. But in Luke chapter 6, Jesus Christ, he eventually comes after he deals with the Beatitude, and he talks about, you have heard that have been said by them of old, do this, but I say unto you, he reestablishes the truth about the law, and not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. He goes on and talks about how to judge effectively, to not judge somebody by the standard that you're not willing to judge yourself. And finally, he gets to the subject of the tongue in Luke chapter 6, and he speaks not in a superficial sense about it, but in a deep and a thorough and comprehensive and true sense. Now, what do I mean by he's not being superficial? Well, Jesus, and if you want to turn there, we're going to read a passage here in Luke 6 in just a moment. But Jesus just doesn't just say to his disciples, stop speaking evil things. That would have been superficial. Stop doing that. That's not what Jesus does in his teaching. Christ brings the attention of the disciples to something that is deeper, and he does it in a comprehensive way. And it is comprehensive in that he instructs them by giving them an illustration as he speaks to them the truth. Now notice with me Luke 6, verse 43 through 45. And by the way, Jesus often does that in his teaching and preaching ministry. He illustrates a truth he illustrates it with a picture. And here, it's a tree and fruit. And notice what he says in Luke 6, 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, that is self-evident. For every tree is known by his own fruit. That's also self-evident. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. And so we have the picture in our mind, okay, of the fruit that comes from a tree. And so if the tree at its source is corrupt, the fruit will be corrupt. If the tree at its source is good, then the fruit will be good. And so now he makes the application. Now that we have the illustration, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. So here we have the heart is represented by the tree, and what is good is represented by the fruit. And so he says, and an evil man of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. And so he brings it all together, and he says this, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So here we have something very important that Jesus Christ is saying. He is being deep, thorough, comprehensive. That's what he is doing. But he is addressing the tongue. But he just doesn't say to his disciples, stop saying evil things. He says, let's go deeper and say, here is where evil things come from. It comes from the heart. And so a corrupt tree brings forth corrupt fruit. So does an evil heart bring forth evil words. And so he says it is from the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaketh. And so here's what we learn. The words that we speak are an insight into the heart. Okay, because we're going to spend a lot of time in Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to talk about all the words of the fool, the words of the wicked, the words of the wise, the words of the just. But let's remember that the words are an insight into the heart. We cannot separate those. We can't say, well, there's my heart over here and then there's the words over here. No, they are inseparable. What comes out the mouth proceeds from the heart. That's what Jesus said. And so he goes to the root. So when we deal with Proverbs 12, verse 13 through 23, we must understand that these proverbs are an insight into the heart of man. Now, as we study these proverbs, I would like to use a biblical reference as a way to demonstrate the validity of those proverbs. In other words, a proverb could be a principle, a truth, but it's just words. It's if you would, it's a principle that if you live by this principle, there are going to be certain outcomes. Now, as we study these proverbs and the biblical reference, you see, the Word of God does declare the truth. It does give us principles to live by, but it doesn't stop at that. And that's the wonderful thing about the Bible. It provides for us some practical examples so that we might see the truth, for example, given in Proverbs, lived out practically in other portions of the Scriptures. And so while you hold your place in Proverbs 12, I want you to turn with me to Numbers, and we're going to be in chapter 13 and 14. So Proverbs, hold your place there in Proverbs 13. I'll put my page marker there and go back to Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to go into chapter 14 as well. Now, at the beginning of the chapter, we're not going to read the entirety of Numbers 13, but at the beginning of the chapter, God tells Moses to pick out men from every tribe to go out, spy out the land. They're ready to go into the promised land, and this is a wonderful thing. They've been expecting this, and they're looking forward to see the land that God will provide, and God has told them over and over again that you're going to go into a land that is flowing with milk and honey, and basically God said, you go into the land, I'll give it to you. It's yours. All you need to do is you need to claim it by faith. I will fight for you. That's what God said. Now, by the way, later, not at this point, but later, Jericho will be the proof of that. Now, they send out the spies. All the tribes are mentioned at the beginning of the chapter. But then we come to Numbers 13, and let's come to verse 25. So they return. The spies return. And they return from searching of the land after 40 days. So they've had enough time to be able to scout out the land and to get a true sense as to what they're to expect in the land. And notice verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and show them the fruit of the land. So I want you to notice, they come, they gather the whole entire congregation together. Moses and Aaron are there. And the Bible says that they brought back word. So they're going to speak. And they're going to deliver a report as to what they saw. They even have proof, visual proof, of the fruit of the land. And they're going to confirm that the things that God said about the land are indeed true about the land. Notice verse 27. And they told him, that's Moses and Aaron, and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So it's exactly what God said. Here is the visible proof that this is what God has said. So far, so good. This is going well. They are speaking words. The words are thus far pleasant words because the words basically confirm what God has said. And here is where the account turns. Verse 28. Notice, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So I want you to see here, because they say, nevertheless, So here is what God said it is, and here's the proof. It is indeed a land flowing with milk and honey. Nevertheless, here are all the enemies that we've seen. And the idea here is that the people are beginning to be stirred up. Why? Because the very next verse in verse 30, the Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people. So the people are being agitated by the words of the ten other spies. And so Caleb stills the people. There's a stirring in the camp, in the congregation. You can feel the frustration mount. And Caleb said, all right, everybody, all right, stop. They haven't said so far, we can't do this. They just said, look, there's giants in the land. But the fact that the people are being stirred up indicates the tone of their voice. The people are being stirred up. So the way they said it, nevertheless, intimated that they cannot do this. That's why Caleb says, when he stills the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That's what Caleb says. Now, here is what happens. Now, by the way, it's interesting. Something I noted, and by the way, something we'll find consistent throughout the Word of God, is that those who speak foolishly often have more words than those who speak wisely. And here we're going to find a lot of words said, and Caleb is just straight to the point. He speaks in faith. And he encourages the people with brief, short, straight-to-the-point words. And let's see what the other ten do. Verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up, and notice, an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Now, they're going into la-la land. They didn't see any of that. But that's what their interpretation. They're eating people. They're people eaters over there. That's what they are. And all the people that saw in it are men of great stature. There's giants in the land. We can't do it. And they're people eaters. Verse 33. Now, if you notice, just the words, at the end of verse 32, all the people that we saw are of great stature. Was that true? It was not true. All of them were giants? That's not true. But that's what they said. All that we saw, that's a lie. Verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Okay, so the Bible says this is their evil report. Their evil report. Okay, chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, the people, and the people wept that night. Notice the impact of those words. You see, those words were not just words that they spoke. They were dishonest words. They were faithless words. They were indeed wicked and evil words. And so the people are crying. There is sorrow in the camp, and they wept that night. And so now we see the consequence and the impact of those words. Verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God that we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. And so now they're turning away from Moses and Aaron and said, all right, let's find a new leader among us who can lead us back into Egypt. Now, how do you think that's going to go when you go back to Egypt? Okay, so, verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Here is the counsel of the wise. If the Lord delight in us. I like that if. That's good counsel. Then he will bring us into this land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Here it is, verse 9. Again, wise counsel. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Wow, what a great counsel. Here is words of the wise. Notice verse 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Who? Caleb and Joshua. Now, isn't it interesting that they didn't want to stone the 10 spies who gave the evil report? Says we can't. They wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua. And the question is, why did they want to stone Caleb and Joshua? Well, I think it's because of the words of wisdom. What was it? Don't be a rebellious people. Well, certainly that went to their heart. You rebels! You! Why don't you just fear God instead of fearing the people? We can overtake the land. And so don't listen to this evil report. And so here in this passage, we have before us a contrast of men who are, I would refer to them as the words of the wicked because of what we're going to find in Proverbs 13, and the words of the wise. Now, notice a little later in this same chapter, Numbers 14, verse 20, what he says. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my servant Caleb. Because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Notice, Caleb spoke different words than the 10 spies, but God says he has a different spirit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we have an insight into the heart of the 10. We have an insight into the heart of those who are part of the congregation of Israel, and we also have an insight into the heart of Joshua and Caleb. And he says, "They had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." And by the way, we know that to be true, because later it will be only Joshua of that generation and Caleb that are going to enter into the land, and everybody else is going to die. Now hold that and turn with me to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, or chapter 12 and verse 13. Proverbs 12 and verse 13. So notice, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. Now I believe we could put a synonymous here, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We could say the wicked is snared by the transgression of his heart. It comes out his lips. It is made evident by his lips, but surely it is the transgression of his heart. That's why he speaks the way he does. And so the wicked is going to be ensnared. He's going to be entrapped. He's going to be imprisoned by the words of his own mouth, by transgressing with his lips, by going against God, by going beyond the line and going against what God has said. And he's going to be taken up in his own trap. But the just shall come out of trouble. Well, that is illustrated for us in Joshua and Caleb. You see, they spoke faithfully of God, that they were able to take the land, that they didn't fear the inhabitants, they feared God rather, and that God could save them out of the land. And guess what? They were able to come out of trouble, out of what? The wilderness wanderings. They did. And so, we see that fulfilled, illustrated for us in Numbers 13 and 14. But let's proceed here in the book of Proverbs. In chapter 12, verse 14, he says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. And the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. And so notice here he says a man shall be satisfied by the good fruit of his mouth. And the reaction, do you see the reaction with the 10 spies and Caleb and Joshua? And they both have a speech, and we know that their speech is reflected of their words. But do you see what happened to the congregation when the 10 spies spoke? They were agitated. They got so agitated that they got to the point that they were saying, let's get stones and stone Caleb and Joshua. After all, they've called us rebels. They've said we don't believe in God. And so they're agitated. And yet Caleb has spoken in faith. And what we find here is that a man shall be satisfied by the good fruit of his mouth. You see, Caleb and Joshua are able to stand back and be satisfied. Why? Because they spoke in faith. Because they spoke the truth. When you look at the scene and you see the 10 spies and the congregation of Israel and you see Caleb and Joshua, let me ask you this. Who is agitated and who is satisfied? Who is in fear and who is at peace? Well, the contrast is evident. You see, the Bible says a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. That's Caleb. And the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. And really, the opposite to that is that the 10 spies and the whole congregation in that generation are going to go through the wilderness wanderings for another 40 years, and they're going to perish in the wilderness. They're going to be recompensed according to their words. But so were Joshua and Caleb. What I find in the theme in Proverbs chapter 12 here is there are both immediate consequences to words, but there are also long-term consequences to words. The immediate consequence is that you have Caleb and Joshua who are at peace, who are trusting God, and then there's those who are agitated and in fear, but then there's also the long-term consequence, and that is that Caleb and Joshua will enter into the land and the remainder of the congregation will not. You see, words have the same impact in our lives today. There are immediate consequences to words, but there are also long-term consequences to words. We come to verse 15, and the Bible says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. That's the 10 spies. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. That is Caleb. You see, if you go back to Numbers chapter 14, what was Caleb's, if you would, wisdom there? How can we say that Caleb was wise? Well, he says, if the Lord delight in us, he says, don't rebel against God. He told them, don't fear the people. And then he says, the Lord is with us. Now, we know that the remainder of the congregation is going to die, but Caleb and Joshua would see those words fulfilled before their eyes when the walls of Jericho would come down. What a rewarding moment for them, who spoke in faith 40 years ago. And now they're seeing that those who do not rebel against God and who don't fear the people have the evidence that God is with them. And they saw that. Verse 16 of Proverbs 12 says, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. I think that we could say a fool's wrath is presently known. That's the congregation. You remember when Joshua spoke up? What did the congregation want to do? They wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua. The wisdom that they spoke needed to be silenced. It needed to be, let's get rid of these men. We don't want to hear them anymore. We don't want to even live with them anymore because they will be a reminder to us of the truth that they've spoken. And so we need to put him out of the congregation. We need to kill them. But the Bible says, but a prudent man covereth the shame. Do you notice that Caleb and Joshua do not respond to that? Actually, they disappear from the scene and you don't find them again. They don't respond to the folly of the congregation. But you know what they did do when the 10 spies says, look, all the giants, we cannot overcome them. They eat people. You know what Caleb said? He said this, back in chapter 13. His words, remember, were simple the first time. He said, "We are well able." And that was pretty much all that Caleb said. He stilled the people in chapter 13, verse 30, before Moses and said, "Let us go at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." You see, Caleb never mentioned the giants. The 10 spies did. You see, what did they want to bring the people's attention to? "You wouldn't believe what we saw there. We saw giants. God didn't tell us about giants." And so they began to embellish. They say they eat people. As a matter of fact, they go on to say that every person they saw was of great stature. That was a lie. So they began to twist and lie. You see, a fool's wrath is presently known. It is known in that they were lying and deceptive, but it was also known in their reaction, whereby they wept that night and they were ready to stone Caleb and Joshua, but the prudent man, he caught for shame. No, was it true that there were some giants in the land? There were some, yes. But not all the people. But see, to Caleb and Joshua, it didn't matter whether there were. God would be able to deliver them. We are well able to possess it. We don't need that information. That information is irrelevant to us when it comes to what God has said is ours. The Bible says that they, all the congregation, bade stone them with stone. A fool's wrath is presently known. The word presently means it is immediately hot. You see, if our tendency is to speak immediately and forcefully and presently, it says something about our hearts. There is something, the Bible says, a wise man holdeth his tongue. Holdeth his tongue. Notice that when you go to the scene with the 10 spies and Caleb and Joshua, who was first to speak? The ones that had the negative report. Not Caleb and Joshua. You see, they know when to speak, and they see the congregation being agitated, and then that's when they decide to speak and to say something. They know when to speak and when not to speak, but the congregation is presently, the wrath is presently known. Proverbs 12:17 says, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. But a false witness deceit." Well, isn't that evident in what they said? So, deceit number one. Notice in Numbers 13:31. "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people.'" That's deceit. What do you mean you're not able? God said you are able. You're trying to deceive the people into not going into the land. "For they are stronger than we." That's deceit. You have God on your side. They are not stronger than you. "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched into the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone through to search it is a land which eateth up the inhabitants thereof.'" That's another lie. Deceit. "And all the people that saw it are men of great stature." All of them. Really? Deceit. So the idea here is that, as the proverb says, that a false witness is deceitful, but he that speaketh truth, what? Showeth righteousness. When we speak, what are we showing? What are we demonstrating? Are we being deceitful, or are we showing forth righteousness? Showing forth righteousness. They were deceptive. Caleb and Joshua were not deceptive. Really, in a sense, they basically repeated what God said. We are able to overcome them. God is with us. Isn't that what God promised to them? That He would be always with them? All of those things, they're basically repeating the truth. They're showing forth righteousness. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword." That's the 10 spies. But the tongue of the wise is health. That's Caleb. Let me give you put forth a contrast. When we think about the piercing of the sword, when you think about the piercing of the sword you pierce and you agitate the wound and there's pain inflicted. The opposite is health. So words of the 10 spies were like the piercing of the sword. They agitated the people. But Caleb and his word, he stilled the people. You see, Caleb stilled the people and he put them at peace. The 10 spies stirred up the people and put them at enmity with everybody else. Against Moses, against Aaron, against Joshua, against Caleb, and against God. They murmur. They said, take us back to Egypt. We're going to appoint a captain. If you're not going to do that, we're going to appoint our own captain to take us back to Egypt. Caleb spoke in faith based on God's word. The 10 spies spoke in doubt based upon how things appear to them. Caleb and Joshua spoke the truth. The 10 spies spoke lies. Caleb wanted them to turn from rebellion. That's what he says. Rebel not against the Lord. The 10 spies promoted rebellion. Stop! We're going back. We're not following God anymore. That is rebellion. Now, what's the result? Well, the result for Caleb and Joshua is that, if you think about the result for the 10 spies, because that's the result that truly happened, you find that sorrow filled the heart of the hearers of what they said. Sorrow filled their hearts. We see that rebellion was the outcome of their words. We have what I would refer to then not as a healthy congregation, but a sick congregation, spiritually sick congregation. And we see that the wrath of the congregation was manifested. Now, if Caleb and Joshua had been heeded, then you would find their hearts would have been filled with peace and strength. If heeded, submission would have been the outcome. Rebel not against God, but obey Him and go into the land. If heeded, you would see a healthy congregation. If heeded, they would have prepared an entrance into the land. You see, the alternatives, if they listen to Caleb and Joshua, you know what the next thing to do is? Prepare to go in. If they did not listen to Caleb and Joshua, then we find there is wrath. The wrath of the congregation was manifested. And by the way, we know what happened. God judges them and says, you're not going to enter the land. It will be the next generation. And so you thought that it was a long time for those wilderness wanderings. Well, you're going to go through it for another 40 years. And we're going to wait for every one of you that rebelled against God to die. What a sad way to live the rest of your life. What a sad way to live the rest of your life. Because you've heeded the words of the wrong person. Proverbs 12:19 says, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. What Caleb and Joshua said was the truth, was it not? It was established forever. Wasn't it appointed that they should have the land? It was the truth. But the lying tongue is but for a moment. They said, we cannot overtake the land. They're people eaters, and we let's stone the people that think we can go in. And then God says, you're judged, that's it. And then they say, let's go into the land. You don't want your lies anymore? You see, lying is just but for a moment. But the consequences go beyond that moment. Verse 20 says, I like this one, Proverbs 12:20. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. But the counselors of peace is what? Ha! Joy. What a difference would the words of Caleb and Joshua heeded have made in their lives. not doubt and fear and anger that God brought them here, but joy instead. And even if those reports were literally true, even if there were only giants, and even if they were people eaters, God could have overcome them and they could have had joy and advancement. Verse 22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. They that deal truly are His delight. Now remember what Proverbs, what Caleb said, Caleb and Joshua, if the Lord delight in you. You see, God does not, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But those that deal in truth are God's delight. So, lying lips are an abomination. That's the 10 spies. They that deal truly are His delight. That's Caleb. And by the way, those words would be fulfilled for Caleb and Joshua. If the Lord delight in you, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which is flowing with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us, their defense has departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. Caleb saw that, because God delighted in Caleb. Why? Because he dealt truly, and God was delighted in him. Do we want God to be delighted in us? Then we must deal truly. One more verse, and we're done in Proverbs 12:23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Now, that's illustrated for us, right? I don't think that it was necessary. In other words, I really truly believe that Caleb saw some giants there. No, there were some. The sons of Anak, they were giants. You find later with Goliath and so on, and the sons of Anak. So there's no doubt there were giants, but we know that things were embellished a little bit. But I don't think Caleb thought that that had to be brought up because it was irrelevant. You see, he concealed knowledge. Now, were there some giants? Yes. Was that knowledge necessary for their advancement? No. The people didn't need to know that. All they needed to know is that God can take the land. That's all they needed to know. You see, a prudent man concealeth knowledge. You know, there are some things that just don't need to be said. They're not helpful. They're not productive. You can imagine for sure that the spies that were selected were of the best of the tribes. Well, knowing that the congregation would so be so easily influenced, Caleb is going to conceal certain things. So certain things don't need to be said. Why? Because some hearts might faint as they hear certain things. But what did Caleb do? He turned their attention to God. And so, but what does the foolish heart do? The foolish heart proclaimeth foolishness. Now, they not only said that there were giants, but then they go into foolishness. They just go into pettiness. They're people eaters, and all of them are people eaters, and all of them are giants, and they're all of great stature, and we just can't do it. You see what they're attempting to do? They're attempting to say that Caleb and Joshua are the irresponsible ones. Why would you be so foolish, Caleb and Joshua, than to think that you want everybody to die and go into the land at the hand of those giants? But who was truly the foolish ones? Was the 10 spies. So, as we go back to Proverbs, we see illustrated for us. Now, this is one of the accounts in the Bible. There are many others. But this is one of the accounts. But come back to verse 13 of Proverbs 12. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. I'm simply illustrating that because the greatest illustration of what we find in Numbers 13 and 14 is that all those who spoke foolishly and wickedly and those who heeded the folly and the wickedness of the 10 spies all perished and were ensnared by their own words. We cannot. And Shirley says, okay, you will not. But Caleb and Joshua, who said, we will and we can, then they shall come out of trouble. So I want us to recognize, if we don't get anything else, I want us to recognize this. As we think about our words, our speech, what comes out of our lips, there are both immediate consequences to those things, but there are also long-term consequences to those things. Let me ask you this. When you speak, does it agitate people around you? Or does it put people at peace? That's an immediate consequence. But also, let's look at the long-term consequences. Are the things, or let me put it this way to parents, are the things that you are teaching and instilling in your children, in the long term, are the things that you say, will they be used against you? And will you be ensnared by your own words? Or will you be able to come out of it? See, often in child rearing, we may not see the immediate consequences. But there are long-term consequences of what we say. How are you a witness at your job? Now, sometimes there are immediate consequences and there's long-term consequences. And to be honest, when we witness to somebody, there might be unpleasant immediate consequences where people might be stirred up. But it might yield peaceable fruits in the long term. You see, when we speak, there's always immediate and long-term consequences. And we best be aware of those two things if we're going to use our tongue wisely for the Lord. Let's pray.